should Christians respond to racism? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. This is Bill Meyer, along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. You can call us right now with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. You can also email us with your question at questions@corechristianity.com, and you can post a question on our Facebook or Instagram pages as well. Well, given all the negative news this week, we wanted to start off with a good news story for you today. It's about a British man who traveled 600 miles to donate stem cells to help save a cancer patient's life. His name is Rob Slight. He lives in Stromness, England, and he says he had pretty much forgotten that he'd signed up for a stem cell registry several years ago until a call came through alerting him that he was a potential match. Rob is 29 years old. He's a self-employed diving instructor and a part-time bartender. He's currently out of work because of the coronavirus situation in England, but he headed straight to Sheffield to undergo the stem cell procedure. The journey took him 2 days. It involved a plane, an overnight stay, and 3 trains. Rob says since he's not working right now, it was the ideal time for him to be called up, and he hopes the stem cell recipient makes a full recovery.
Wow, that's wonderful. You know, it just makes me think, when we get the Ten Commandments, you know, you have that commandment not to murder. That's not just about not killing. It's also about the preservation and propagation of life. I mean, it's, you know, we should be people who want to help others live and live to the fullest. And what an example of that here in this story from England.
Just was so cool when I read it. You know, you think about everything that's been going on with the coronavirus and civil unrest here in the U.S., and you just hear about people that are making a difference and doing something good. And so kudos to you, Rob. Well, let's get to our first question of the day. And this one comes from Julie, who says, I've been a Christian for over 15 years, and recently I've been having this overwhelming fear of dying. Even though I know there's a heaven and there's eternity, there's a seed of doubt about what if this is the end? It has given me anxiety and panic attacks. Can you offer some encouragement or even some helpful resources?
Yeah, Julie. Well, first, let me just pray for you. Father in heaven, I lift Julie up to you and I ask that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit and give her that hope that we have as Christians, Lord, in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And when she feels the doubts creeping in, the fear of death, would you fix her eyes on your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who has conquered death, and grant her comfort, assurance, and strength in her faith, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Julie, when it comes to death, I think we as Christians get to have a balance that isn't often struck in the rest of the world. On the one hand, death is minimized today. It's referred to as passing away. Because death is such an ugly thing, you know, we try to dress it up, pretend it's somehow good and natural. But the biblical understanding of death couldn't be further from that. Death is not a natural part of life. It's the opposite of life. And it entered the world because of sin, something that God is not the author of. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the last enemy to be defeated when Jesus Christ returns is death. Death is horrible. So some people try to minimize it, but others live in absolute dread of it. I'll never forget my math teacher in high school. He would sometimes talk about his dear mother in class, a wonderful woman, but a woman who was afraid to go outside, he said. And she lived hunkered down because she was always concerned that she was going to get sick and die in her old age. Now, we're familiar with this dread a little bit more now than before because of the pandemic. But as Christians, while we recognize death is terrible, we don't have to be enslaved to the fear of death. Listen to what the author to the Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Julie, we don't have to be enslaved to the fear of death because we have the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be times of fear, of doubt. And I don't want you to beat yourself up over that. You know, I think it's normal to have the kinds of thoughts that you're having. And when they're plaguing you, what you need to do is meditate on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, the reason that we know that this is not the end, Julie, is because Jesus Christ experienced death and rose again from the dead, conquering it. And that's something that we're sure of. We have the testimony of the apostles, the prophecies given to us by the prophets, the witness of all the martyrs in the early church. I mean, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that's why you can know that death is not the end for you and for all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Cling to that hope.
Julie, we pray that that offers you some comfort in this current situation, and we'll continue to pray for you that God will give you that assurance that you're going to be with him for eternity one day. Well, this is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. One of the ways you can contact us is by going through our website at corechristianity.com/radio. And there's a little microphone on the right side of the page where you can record your question for us. And let's go to one of those voicemails right now.
Hi, Pastor Adriel and Bill. This is Matt from Philadelphia. Thank you so much for your wonderful podcast. I've been listening to Core Christianity since its inception, and have really been encouraged to grow in the knowledge and faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. I must confess, though, that I've been frustrated over receiving more information about the coronavirus and the news media in general, but that there is an appalling lack of wisdom. What is godly wisdom? Does wisdom come primarily through reading scripture? Does it come primarily through praying to God on a daily basis? Or both? And I guess for me, how can I confront these frustrations that I have and to defeat them with God's help? May the Lord continue to bless you in your ministry. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Super encouraged by your call, Matt. And I think I can sympathize with you when it comes to, you know, feeling frustration at times, especially during this whole pandemic. I know a lot of people can. The church needs a lot of wisdom right now. Pastors, we need a lot of wisdom. Every individual Christian needs wisdom in order to navigate the divisive and confusing times that we are living in. You know, there's an entire genre of scripture called the wisdom literature, which, if anything, tells us that God thinks you and I need wisdom. What is wisdom? Here's what it is. It's the ability to make right judgments by applying the truth of God to particular situations. So it's not just the knowledge of scripture, but it's how to apply the truth of God's word in a particular circumstance or situation. Think, for example, of Solomon. And going back to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, you remember what he prayed for. He said, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" And then the verses that follow, God's response, we're told, "It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you and none like you shall arise after you." Now, immediately after this prayer and God's response, what you have is that famous scene where Solomon judges between the two mothers who are arguing over a baby to determine which of the two is the mother of the child. And Solomon makes this judgment to find out who the true mother is, and everybody is astounded by the wisdom that he demonstrates. So there it is. Wisdom is the discernment to apply God's word to the situations of life. And in order to do this, you need to know God's word, as you say. So yes, there's a relationship between the word and wisdom, but knowing the word doesn't ensure that we're also going to apply it wisely. And that's why we have to ask for wisdom. We have to pray for it. And there's this wonderful promise in Scripture. I think it's probably one of my favorite promises in all of the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Here's the realities. When we pray, asking God for wisdom in faith, we pray believing, God is going to answer that prayer. He gives to you wisdom when you ask for it. And so we have to know the word of God, Matt, and we also have to pray, Lord, give me wisdom so that I can apply your word in each particular circumstance in my life and live in a way that is honoring to you. And as you know, right now, we desperately need that wisdom. So let's join together and pray as the people of God, asking for it and knowing that the Lord will give it to us when we ask in faith. Thanks for your question.
Adriel, I'm also thinking about the other way that God reveals himself to us, that his word through nature, through his creation. And, you know, he's asking about coronavirus. And the fact is, that's not specifically addressed in God's word, but God has revealed himself in the created order. We have to be careful, of course, how we, you know, interpret scientific findings or research or whatnot. But that's another way we can be wise, is by being discerning in how we read those things and interpret those things.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, God is speaking to us through general revelation, is what you're referring to, just the world that he made, which is his world, and also through special revelation, through the scriptures. And we want to receive both of those ways of God speaking to us, you know, through natural revelation and through special revelation. And we want to pray that God helps us to apply the truth that he gives to us in every situation.
Mm. Matt, thanks so much for your question. It's a great one. You're listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and we have a really cool offer we want to mention to you today.
Yeah, you know, I'm really stoked about this one. It's called 7 Things You Need to Know About Heaven. It's free when you sign up for our weekly newsletter. One of the greatest topics Christians can think about is the eternal life that we're going to have with Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion today about what heaven is going to be like. You know, you have all these people who are writing books claiming to have gone to heaven and coming back to earth and describing, you know, what they experienced. Well, we have a book already, the scriptures, that give us a window into heaven. And that's why we created this resource, so that you can have a biblical view of heaven. Head over to corechristianity.com/offers to download 7 things you need to know about heaven.
You can also call us for that resource at 833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. Well, let's go to another question. This one was posted on our Instagram page from Corey. And Corey says, what is the biblical stance on racism? How should Christians respond to oppression?
Yeah, Corey, you're right that this is a controversial issue. You know, let me tell you something I heard a pastor say this the other day. He said, in over 20 years of ministry, he has never once been asked to not speak on any sin except racism.
Wow.
Now let that sink in. He's never had people tell him, you shouldn't preach against abortion, or you shouldn't preach against sexual immorality. But it seems like when pastors talk about this issue, folks get uneasy. And the accusations of, you know, being a social justice warrior or a liberal get thrown around. Now, the fact is, we as ministers and all of us as Christians need to call sin out wherever it is. And racism is a heinous sin in the eyes of Almighty God. If the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor as ourselves, and if racism oppresses my neighbor and objectifies my neighbor, then this sin is a violation of one of the greatest commandments in Scripture. And yet people are afraid to talk about it. They get uncomfortable, and pastors are asked to shy away from discussing it. And Corey, this should tell us something. It should trouble us. See, part of the problem is this. We have so confused Christianity with politics that people often assume Christian equals the stuff political conservatives identify with, and non-Christian equals the stuff progressives talk about. And since racial injustices often tend to be at the forefront of the discussion in politically progressive circles, we shy away from them because we think that to discuss the evil of racism is to identify with the liberal left. But here's the thing. When we call out the evil of racism, we're identifying with the word of Almighty God. Woe to those who are willing to condemn the desecration of the image of God in abortion, but not willing to condemn it in racism. Both are heinous in God's eyes, and Christians ought to say so. We're reeling over this right now. We as Christians should mourn because of the death of George Floyd, for example, and pray that God changes the hearts of those who are prejudiced. We should pray that God changes our own hearts. Because the fact is, churches in this country have had a history of not speaking up on this very issue. Look, I know that this is heavy, but isn't our goal to be biblical? To speak the truth of God's word? We as Christians believe the lives of people matter because they're made in the imago Dei, the image of God. Black lives are made in God's image, and when we see those lives being unjustly treated or crushed, we should cry foul on the basis of Holy Scripture. I don't care what CNN says or what the Huffington Post says. Those aren't my authority. This is God's holy law, and that's what we want to abide by. And so how do we address this issue? Well, one thing I think, you know, the first step is listening. Listen first to God's word. I mean, I think the scripture is clear about this. It's sin. We need to call it sin, condemn it. But also listen to our neighbors, to Black people, especially if you're a Christian, Black brothers and sisters in the church. Too often we talk about this issue instead of talking to one another with charity and a desire to listen. You guys, the gospel brings us together. We're multiple races, but we're united in Christ, and we need to start pursuing each other in charity and love so that we can be an example to the world of the unity in diversity that the gospel brings about. I think that this is one of the ways that we as a church can shine so brightly for Jesus Christ in a society that is so divided, where there is so much tension, so much fighting, so much pain. We have to be unified in the gospel, no matter what our backgrounds are. Now, such a powerful witness. I mean, I think of what Jesus said in John 13:35, the world is going to know you're my disciples by your love for one another. And then Jesus in John 17, praying that the church would be one. Why? So that the world might know that God the Father sent his Son into the world. Our unity, our ability to come together, despite the fact that we might be different, and to love each other, to serve each other, is such a sign to the rest of the world of the power of the gospel. And we need that right now. We need that desperately right now. And you know what? I just want to pray that God in his mercy would help all of us individually and as Christians. So would you just stop and take a moment to pray with me? Father, we need you. Our country desperately needs your help. The church desperately needs your help. Help us, O God, to honor you, to speak the truth of your word, especially with regard to this issue, Lord, to be able to say sin is sin and to condemn it wherever we see it, to stand against all injustice and all prejudice. Lord, to rejoice in the fact that we are made in your image and to seek to love all fellow image bearers with the love that you give to us. Help us, Lord, as a church to be united in your gospel, to gather around Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins, to have that unity, that peace amongst ourselves so that we might be able to demonstrate the power of the gospel to a world that is longing for something else, for something better, something that only you can give. Lord, help us to be faithful to you, to stand up for those who are oppressed, to speak against all oppression, and to cling to the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, that unites us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Corey, thank you so much for asking that very important question. And Adriel, we appreciate that biblical response. And thank you for praying for our nation. You're listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and we'd always love to receive your message. You can email us at questions@corechristianity.com, or you can call us at 833-843-2673. Another way to contact us is to go to our Instagram or Facebook page and post a question there. Let's go to another call. This one came in from Kim in Junction City, Kansas.
My question is the Our Father prayer, and I thought the Pope changed that one sentence that says, "Lead us not into temptation." I don't know what he changed it to, but I say, "Protect us from temptation and deliver us from evil." So I was just curious as to what happened with that particular sentence in the Our Father prayer. Love your show. Keep up the great work. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Hey, Kim, thank you for that question. Yeah, so some time ago, the Pope did suggest a change to the Lord's Prayer. I think it was last year. His rationale, from what I can remember, was that he felt like the change that should be made, at least to the English translation or version, helped to better explain what Jesus meant there in the Lord's Prayer. So the suggested change was, instead of "lead us not into temptation," Roman Catholics would say, "do not let us fall into temptation." The fact of the matter is, Kim, I mean, there are a couple things here. One, the Pope, you know, an individual pastor, does not have the authority to say, "I'm going to change the words of Holy Scripture." And obviously, I don't think that he thinks he's doing that. I think he's trying to explain it in the way that he thinks fits best. But the fact is, the original does a fine job of translating the Greek text of Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," or from the evil one. The reality is, God is sovereign over Satan and even over temptation. I mean, just look at the story of Job in the Old Testament. Satan had to go to God, the Lord, and get permission to tempt Job, to put him in that difficult trial, that horrible trial that he experienced. God is absolutely sovereign. He's absolutely in control. And you know what? That doctrine makes people uncomfortable sometimes. You know, I think it was the great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon, who once said, you know, "We love God everywhere except on his throne." We love him on his, we love him in his workshop as he's creating the heavens and the earth, you know, making all the beautiful things that we get to enjoy. But the moment that God sits on his throne, we get nervous. Why? Well, because we want to be in control. We view ourselves as the ones who should be enthroned so often. And I think that he's right. This doctrine, the reality that God is sovereign in control of all things, it might make us uneasy, but at the end of the day, what it should do is comfort us, because we can go to the Lord and say, "God, deliver me, protect me. You are in control." I think of what the psalmist says, "With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments." God, you are all powerful. Our hearts are prone to wander, but you can give us the strength. You can help us. Help us, Lord. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at there in the Lord's Prayer, is we cast ourselves upon the Lord, knowing that he is the King of heaven and earth. So we trust in him. So I don't think there needs to be any change to those words. I think that the English Bible, most English translations, translate that perfectly fine. We're going to the Lord because we know that he's the one who is sovereign over temptation and over the evil one. He doesn't tempt us. I mean, Scripture makes that very clear, but he can protect us from temptation, and that's why we pray to him in order to do that.
You're listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and you can email us with your question at questions@corechristianity.com, or you can call us at 833-843-2673. Another way to contact us is to go to our Instagram or Facebook page and post a question there.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar, or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.